Listener discretion is advised. Dropped into Juicebox Radio, where sexuality educators quench your search for responsible, progressive sexuality over your lifespan. Don't touch that dial. You are exactly where you want to be. You're with Caroline McGillivray and Julia Saunders, 2-in-1, the blonde and brunette, in Juicebox Radio on CITR 101.9 FM. Or maybe, do you think they're one of our podcast listeners?
Maybe. It's kind of a weird time to be listening to a radio show at 10 o'clock.
Well, they could be at home.
Watching TV, maybe?
No, not watching TV, online, where they could be surfing the net or checking their Facebook.
Or masturbating to your neighbors.
We could talk about that later if you'd like. Care to share?
No, that's okay.
That's sex.
About my friend who does this eavesdropping thing that gets her off really fast.
And well, I think a lot of people are into that.
She was describing this to me today, and I was quite impressed with her ability to go from zero to an orgasm in 30 seconds.
I think...
Zero,
I
apparently.
I think it's impressive.
So this young lady tells me that she's got issues coming to an orgasm. She has a lot of problems. You know, she gets numb. She can't really come very easily. She's got to be a certain way. All the bells and whistles have to be sort of happening at the right time. Otherwise, she can't climax.
Wow.
So this is sort of her issue. And then she tells me a story like this, where she can just 30 seconds, zero to nothing, overhearing people having intercourse and just slapping body parts and fucking or whatever. So
are we talking 30 seconds from the time of contact or 30 seconds from the time she started listening? Because that's different.
Well, I should clarify that. I'm
yes,
not totally
should.
Sure, actually.
Okay.
But I'll have to ask her. Anyway.
Because I'd be really curious to see what she had to say about that.
Yeah, that's curious. I would think maybe from touching. I don't know. I'll have to ask her. I'll have to clarify that.
Because my thought would be I'd understand if it was from touching. It's kind of like...
If your mind gets involved for a while first and you get aroused, I mean, you don't even have... You can have an orgasm. I can have an orgasm in my sleep. I don't know about you guys.
I can't.
Girls
I
and women
envious.
And men. I can... Yeah, I wake up having an orgasm some
but
morning.
So... I can usually have, sorry, I can usually have, ooh, oh,
this
Julia,
making,
oh, Julia, Julia, oh, Julia, Julia, baby, take,
Oh my goodness. This is, if you, listeners, if you could see this, you'd be amazed. But what I was going to say is sometimes having sex for the first time, I have a better orgasm, sometimes really, really amazing, because of the fact I the anticipation is built up about what sex is going to be like with that person.
Right. I mean, the largest sex organ beyond our skin is really our brain, right? So, I mean, it's not the largest, but it's the most profound and the most powerful sex organ is our brain. So, yeah, you know, those of us who do have orgasms in our sleep or wake up sort of having an orgasm, that just goes to prove to you that you can actually have orgasms in your sleep. Men do get big, solid erections usually in their sleep unless they've got severe erectile function issues, which is quite rare. Men do get erections, and they used to come. They used to have, you know, ejaculatory orgasms, wet dreams in the middle of the nocturnal emissions.
I like that. Nocturnal emissions. I might have to write that down.
Sounds hot, but really I think it's an embarrassment for most young boys. And they have to hide the sheets from their parents and that kind of thing. But nothing to be ashamed of, young men. Nothing to be ashamed of there.
No?
yes. This is something that the listeners can't appreciate is the note writing that Caroline and I do for each other here on Juice Box. We have some note writing that we do and some winking.
I think it has to do with the fact that we went to school together. So we got used to writing notes back and forth back in the day, back before we had text sex.
Oh, my gosh. Text sex. Well, yeah. Okay. Now, I think we should just get onto the topic a little bit, just in case our guest does call in. Mm. She should be calling in maybe in about 5 minutes or so.
We've got a very special guest coming on tonight, and we're going to be talking about sex.
Yes, let's prep the listener. So basically, a very good marketing kind of guy, or whatever you call those people who promote.
A promoter.
He emailed about Tanya.
Media relations.
Tanya Diamond, who's an internationally renowned tantric expert, apparently. She has some very interesting things to say about sexual health in today's society. We're hoping that she's going to do a phone interview over the show tonight. But basically, the topic is going to be exploring the world of tantra, but it doesn't have to be that kind of woo, you know, ling, 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 all that spiritual stuff that a lot of people think it is. It can be about breathing for energy. It can be about controlling your body to have multiple orgasms without ejaculation. If you're a man, to have, you know, multiple orgasms and build your orgasmic potential as a woman, to learn how to ejaculate, these kind of things. So, you know, there's sort of these outputs that, that can come of tantra. But tantra technically is really, not technically, but it's generally, it's a religion. I mean, it is actually a full religion like yoga is. I mean, we only see these asanas, these postures, is one tiny piece of what yoga is about. I mean, there's all these other aspects, meditation. It's a religion. Tantra is a religion as well, but we've sort of narrowed it down in Western society to have this quick fix, this kind of like, how do we get off as fast as possible? How do I become a multi-orgasmic man? So, you know, it always kind of comes down to that. Apparently, Tanya is going to be speaking to us about becoming sexually transformed, which I think is kind of interesting. She calls sexual transformations as her area of sexual mastery. And so I find that very interesting. Her promoter, exactly, said, you know, that she was the world's only sexual transformation. So I think that's very interesting. We're going to talk to her about that tonight, hopefully. But she has a very intriguing website, sexualtransformations.com, and she starts off by saying, think back to how or where you learned about sex. Think back. Pretty dismal for most of us. You got your education from magazines, porn, health class, your parents, the locker room, or purely on accident, trial and error, like I did. I don't know about you, Caroline, but mostly it was trial and error on my side of things. I didn't get into the porn and the magazines. Didn't have really a health class. We had a puberty class with, like, the period video. It was all we had. But, yeah, the locker room.
We had the...
And trial and error.
Trial and error, definitely. And yeah, that book, Where Did I Come From?
Right.
With the sperm with the little top hats.
I did that, too, when I was little, because I was trying to teach my little baby sister, who's 9 years younger than me, about sex. And so I brought her that book, and we talked about that book. But I think I mentioned to the listeners years ago that I learned about sex from The Joy of Sex, which I read at 7 years old.
I think from you've cover told to cover. Me about this.
So I was teaching people on the block about cunnilingus and what that meant and fellatio and how to do it and all this stuff when I was 7, 8, 9. So
what
Julia,
did your parents say? Because I'm sure...
Poor young sex educator that I was when I was young. I shouldn't have been doing those things, but that's what happens when you learn about too much too too early. So, you know, that's one of the reasons I am an advocate for sexual education, to be age appropriate and, you know. Anyway, so, that was not good. I learned too early, too much too early. But
it shaped you into the woman you are today.
It has shaped me into the woman I am today.
You're
one of the best
women.
Blowjob givers in the world.
Thank you, Caroline. But
it's true. You don't have a penis, do you?
No, I don't have a penis. Mm. No. Although apparently clitorises are almost like a small mini penis. Although there's more nerve endings in the clitoris than there is in the entire surface of the penis.
That's true. And it's too bad that you don't have a penis, because we would just get married and have children, wouldn't we? We'd just give up on this chase of trying to find this right man in this city. It's just impossible, it seems.
It's not impossible, though.
Oh, you're right. You're
There's
right.
a lot of really wonderful men out there. Yes. We're actually just in an event this evening, which we were joking about on the car on the way over, just that we could meet somebody really amazing. And that, you know, that myth that there's no men in Vancouver, there's lots of men in Vancouver. You just need to know where to look.
I think then, Caroline, you were right, too, in our conversation was around finding men in Vancouver has to do with going to the right places. Like, mm-hmm. So did you say that?
I just said that. Julia.
I am listening to you, I promise. The right places, meaning, I was going to give an example.
Like going to the Canucks game or that tech event that we were just at tonight.
The tech event.
Launch with a twist.
Thank you. And then also the Celluloid Social Club.
Sometimes he has some interesting, there's some men there.
But yeah, I think going to men, like you were saying in the cafe we were eating in, you were saying not going to the fashion shows and the things that women like to congregate to because we find them interesting. I'm speaking generally here. You know, but the things that we think that men might be interested in going to, that's where the men are going to be. I mean, we were driving through downtown. I was looking in glass windows, and there was a ton of guys all over the place playing pool. Now, mind you, they could be gay. This is the problem with heterosexual, you know, dating in Vancouver. If you're gay, there's lots happening. But, you know.
Even still, it's still the same pool. My brother's gay, so that's one of the reasons he moved to Toronto.
Because it's
to find fresh meat.
Fresh meat.
So, Alex, if you're listening, I'm sorry.
So anyway, we were talking about sex ed. And, you know, we were saying to have the tantric sex, you need to find
a
partner.
You need to start with a partner.
Right.
If you don't have somebody, it's kind of challenging to do that.
Yeah.
It's a religion for two, making it into one.
Right. Energy systems, exchanging energy in the microcosmic orbit.
Definitely.
I'm sure Tanya Diamond will tell us. Yeah. But go ahead.
One point I did want to make in regards to about going where the men are is I'm not saying stop going to the fashion shows, but stop going to the fashion shows expecting to meet a man there necessarily.
And then complain that there aren't enough men in the city.
Exactly.
Right. We don't want to give these men this idea that there's like a million women to every guy. There's not.
No.
The thing is that we're just not finding the right ones, and there's a lot of gorgeous women that are out there, and we're confident, and we're out. And so when we go out to a bar or we go out to a different situation, there's a ton of gorgeous, confident women around with great educations or fabulous ideas or creativity or whatever have you. Fabulous, eligible women, and we're out there and we're doing our stuff, and then the men are kind of not out there because they're maybe more shy or they're at these sporting events.
Well, they're at different events, and we've got to stop going to the certain places all the time and looking there specifically.
Mm-hmm.
We need to marry the two. I'm not saying for our listeners to go out and start going to Canucks games if they don't follow hockey just to go and pick up men at the events. I mean, they can do that.
I was going to say, why not? But yeah, then you end up being a hockey wife.
You do.
Like I was every Saturday night, hockey night in Canada. That sucked for five years.
Either that or you have to learn to buck up. And you might actually find you might like it, so it might be interesting. And I think that might be Ms. Tanya Diamond.
Tanya Diamond. I have to see if it's her.
Shall we see?
Just see, yes. Put on the telephone, darling.
Telephone.
Phone one. Turn it up. Here she is.
Hello.
You're on the air.
Hi, this is Tanya Diamond.
Fabulous. Thank you for calling into Juicebox, Tanya. It's good to hear from you.
Yes.
Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
We were just discussing what Tantra is very briefly.
And where to meet men
in Vancouver.
So you can actually have Tantra.
So we're thinking we'd like to have tantric sex, but you can't really have that until you actually
have
someone to have sex with. Or do you have a comment about that?
Yes, I do.
Okay,
have a
fabulous.
Comment about that.
Thank you.
Actually, tantra is a solo practice to start.
Okay, I have heard this from some tantricas. I've heard this, and I'm just like, well, okay, but there's also energy exchange, right? But anyway, we'll let you carry that.
So
please tell us about that.
So how would one get involved in that and start, like, say somebody wanted to get involved, but they didn't have a partner and would be very curious? How would you recommend somebody starting that?
Well, the thing about Tantra is that it's an actual art form of connection.
Okay.
And not really an art form of sexuality per se. And so I think a lot of people are jumping the gun and taking it straight to sex, and that's why that thinking they need a partner. What you need to learn is how to connect with yourself, how to become present and aware in your daily life of everything that you're doing.
Hmm.
And how would you recommend that people do that? Is there exercises they can do?
Oh, yes. Yeah. The foundation of Tantra is breath work, of conscious mm-hmm. breath work. Mm-hmm. And as you might know, very few of us ever really breathe correctly throughout the day.
That's true.
I yell at my students about it all the time. I teach pole dancing for fitness, so
oh, very nice.
I tell them to stop keeping lemon monkey faces where they hold their breath when they're about to jump into a spin. It's like breathe, relax your body mm-hmm. into it, and it's mm-hmm. a lot prettier.
Yeah, and in fact, breath work, not only conscious breathing, not only helps you in your daily life, but that's also the way to those 2-hour-plus orgasms that people hear about with Tantra.
Wow, this is sounding really good. Now, mm-hmm. you know what, Tanya, before we go to get into this too much, I didn't even have a chance because Caroline and I were yammering. I was just sort of reading some ideas off your website, which I thought was very well written, and you're saying that both men and women are sadly lacking in the area of sexual knowledge, let alone mastery.
Correct.
And with knowledge comes confidence and assuredness in the bedroom and outside of it. And I love the way you talk about, do you know how to kiss, the kind of kiss that leaves your partner breathless and wanting, eager for you? Do you use the ways of intimate touch that keep your partner fantasizing about you and no one else? I mean, that means you go on, and so these are just some fabulous ways of getting people enticed into your programming, which I think sounds really exciting. My questions for you, I think you give workshops, you're an internationally renowned expert, healer and teacher in the area of human sexuality and Tantra, but it says you're the world's only sexual transformation expert. I think that's quite a broad sweeping statement. The world's only? You've got quite a promoter. So tell us about this sexual transformation. What is this about?
Well, the reason I'm the world's only sexual transformation expert is because I'm the one that created the process.
Okay.
So
that's fair.
Not necessarily a broad statement, just just how it is.
Okay.
What is it? Basically, it's a synergy of all the different knowledge and formats that I have in healing work. So not only do I bring education, sexual education, to the field, but I'm also a hypnotherapist.
Okay.
And so I can help in reprogramming some faulty thinking, people that have been sexually wounded or have sexual programming that's incorrect for them.
Okay.
I'm also a holistic healer in many different areas, so helping people integrate their spirit into sexuality is really important as
Very
well.
Very important. Yes, I agree.
So, yeah, it's just I have a lot of tools, basically, mm-hmm. in my toolbox.
Fabulous. So you bring them all together for holistic sexual healing and sort of getting people to become sexual masters.
Sexual beings. We are sexual beings. Why is it that we feel like we need to put sexuality on a back burner?
Mm.
What is that about? I mean, I think
sex negativity,
food, water, sex. I mean, not behind everything else.
What did you say? Sorry?
Air, food, water, sex.
Oh.
Not sex just put on the back burner behind the kids, behind the work, behind everything. That's not okay.
Right. I agree with you. I think that our sexuality is at the core of our health. And so mm-hmm. We need to be a lot more sexually healthy than we are on multiple levels, spiritually, emotionally, socially. So you're right on the target there with the juice box girls. We agree with that.
That's excellent.
I was just going to say, I think it depends on what you define sex as. And I don't know, how do you find that people do define sex?
Well, most people think of sex as just genital friction.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where they're sadly lacking. Or that sex is simply a vehicle to orgasm, and mm-hmm. that orgasm should be some type of goal in mm-hmm. sexuality. And I think mm-hmm. we're just limiting ourselves so incredibly much mm-hmm. with these premises.
Okay, so what do you recommend then?
I recommend, first of all, some education, mm-hmm. which, of course, I teach basic sexual mastery classes beyond just level one, which is basic anatomy and how to have friction sex. We now learn about breath work and energy and the most powerful tool we have, which is intent. Because mm-hmm. when you touch somebody, what is the intent in which you're touching them? That makes a huge difference as far as leaving somebody breathless.
Mm-hmm.
Learning about your own inner limitations around sexuality,
mm-hmm.
getting rid of some of those blocks. And you know, for women as well as men, being glorified in your sex, finding a holy place with your sexuality.
Mm-hmm. I agree. So my question, I have a couple questions out of that set you just said. Finding your holy place. So we'll talk about that in 1 second, but oh, darn. There was a piece that you were talking about. I was like, oh, I have a question, but I didn't want to interrupt you because it was such beautifully. Oh, damn it. I hate that. Caroline's making notes really rapidly here, but I doubt that she has the same question as I have. So let's talk about the holy place. Finding sort of getting over your emotional issues. You were talking about something like that and kind of becoming more confident in your sexual self? Is that what you're referring to?
Yes, of course, and also getting rid of our myths. We have so many societal myths, like women believe that men are supposed to ride down for the mountain on their white steed, and if it's he's the one, he'll be this perfect lover.
Right.
And we are not taking accountability for our own bodies and our own arousal and the fact that women are complex sexual creatures, and we need to actually help the men become the lovers that we want.
And how would you recommend how would you recommend that we help them?
Well, first of all, becoming educated ourselves. And, I mean, if you are not your own best lover as a woman, you cannot possibly help teach a man how to become a best lover for you.
So becoming
educated and then becoming self-educated and self-knowledgeable.
And that's through masturbation, for example?
Self-pleasuring. I mean, first of all, education being the core, right? Let's get rid of the myths. Let's get rid of all this game-playing that we do. First of all, men and women shouldn't be warring. We want the same things. We want to be loved. We want great sex. We want great connection.
Quit
making everybody be the bad guy and step up and take accountability.
Right. I agree with you.
Yeah. So educating yourself and then learning about your body and different ways that your body works and what arouses you not only physically but mentally and spiritually.
Right.
Can you give an example of how you'd recommend somebody could do that?
Well, we're going to back to that beautiful beginning where I always talk about breath work.
Mm-hmm.
I tell people when you take my class, if you learn nothing else from me ever, please learn about conscious breath and how to use it.
Okay.
Because really that's the foundation for moving energy through your body. It's the foundation for moving stress out of your body.
Mm-hmm.
It's the foundation to learn to have powerful orgasms. And the elusive but the secret spiritual orgasm that you'll hear talked about in the Tantra world.
It pretty well makes
relative orgasm mundane. Yeah, pretty big.
Right. Yeah. I've heard of this spiritual orgasm before. Yes. You kind of feel one with God if there is such a thing. Very powerful. I hear it's like transcendental meditation. Except it's an orgasmic thing. Beyond just the mind kind of stuff. Interesting. So I agree with you on the breath thing. I think that's really powerful. The foundation of our health is about our breath too, because I don't know if you know this, but it's actually impossible to feel anger when you take two deep breaths.
Correct.
Physiologically, anyone who's in an angered state takes two deep breaths and it actually dispels the anger like within seconds. And it's just a switch in our minds. When we're angry, we breathe very shallowly. And if you take a couple of deep breaths, it actually completely gets the anger gone. So breath is powerful. I hear what you're saying.
And you know, not only breath, right? You understand that basically the body can't have two physiological opposing things happening. You cannot be stressed and breathing. You cannot be anxious and breathing.
Mm-hmm.
And as far as things like premature ejaculation, you cannot. That's one of the biggest culprits, is not having correct breath work and then having too much tension in the body.
So
I don't actually believe in premature ejaculation because, quite frankly, when you're ready to come, you come, right?
Okay, so let's talk about premature ejaculation, because a lot of guys have an issue with this, and I actually have most of the male lovers in my life have had an issue with this, and I don't know if it's just my magic vagina or what it is, but it's been frustrating,
Let me first of all say that
there is
probably was never such a thing as that label.
All right, tell us
about
that.
And then the fact that only 8% of women actually orgasm through intercourse would mean that all men are premature.
Oh, you got
two. Rest of the 92%.
Caroline and I both orgasm through intercourse, so we're one of the 8%.
Yeah.
We're two of the 8%.
You guys rock.
It's about the only way I can have an orgasm.
I still think it's the whole theory about the clitoris.
I
have a theory about this. If women have larger clitorises, I don't know how much truth there is in that, but it's easier for them to have clitoral orgasms on the outside, and if it's a little bit smaller, it's easier to have it from the inside.
No.
Really?
Doesn't pan out.
Okay,
well, let's talk about this. Let's talk about this then. Let's all discuss this for a while, everyone. Ladies, okay. All right, so the clitoris is a pretty tiny little bit. Now, we have lots of the clitoris inside the body as well, obviously.
Yep.
It depends on where the crura, which are the clitoral legs, are kind of wrapped around what part of your body inside. Depends on how much clitoral meat you have on the outside, how long your shaft is, your head, your pubis, whatever. I can't remember all the words right now.
You're doing a great job.
Thanks. I've got That's 10 like years of education. I should hope so. Oh, God. I just don't have my physiology books in front of me, so I can't name all the bits. But the
it
clitoris
looks like
is...
a wishbone, hey?
The clitoris
Julian
is...
actually gave me that.
Some of my sex ed kids call it the spider. I draw the crura sometimes like a spider.
I call it the pearl.
Very
because
good.
Think about how sexy it is to lean across the dining room table and say, do you want to go home and polish my pearl?
Oh.
Nice.
So, okay, so you're Pearl now, Tanya, and Caroline and I, we've got different names or bits. I don't know what I would call them. So the clitoris is a small thing on the outside. So I think, you know, often you have to sort of engorge it and let it sort of work its wonders and fill the whole organ up with blood because there's a lot of organ inside the body as well.
Yeah.
What do you... So let's talk about... that. I'm trying to picture.
You want to talk about engorging your clitoris?
I actually
yes,
wanted
we do.
To.
And
yes,
that looks
we
like
do.
A penis, honey, with yes, flowers on it.
The clitoris is a mini penis.
I know it's a mini penis.
Are you
more nerve endings.
So, Tanya, are you trying to tell me that the women? I know, Carolyn and I can get a bit carried away. Are you trying to tell me that the women that have small clitorises are just as likely to have an orgasm, clitoral orgasm, as women with larger ones?
Yes.
Okay, can you
because
explain
you know
that,
what?
Please?
Orgasm, ladies,
yes.
is actually just energy moving through the body. And quite frankly, you're perfectly capable of having an orgasm without having anybody touch you at all.
Yes, I wake up with them sometimes.
Yeah, exactly.
It's quite fabulous. And Caroline's jealous. She's looking at me with
I
evil
am
eyes.
I am so envious. The only time I've ever had that is with one ex-boyfriend who
Well, you know what? Work on your breath
breasts.
Work. Because
work on your breath work, honey.
Energy, it's just energy. And certainly if you work on your PC muscles so that you can rub your own G-spot with your PC muscles.
Oh, I'm doing it right now.
Doing
yeah,
the breath
too,
work,
actually.
You should be able to do that fairly easily.
I think that's a really good idea. The pubic caustic...
Let's all work on that for a minute.
I know, I'm doing it right
We're
now.
We're doing it right now.
You can do it too. Okay, so yeah, it's very important, I think, to build those muscles. They're important for
class.
So many things. Sorry?
Yes.
I was just saying,
yes,
our
are.
Listeners should all practice clench, release, clench.
Let's all practice
release.
Them right now?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. You know what? I think you should practice them always at red lights.
Red lights, okay.
And any time you have to wait in traffic or at the grocery store.
Okay.
And if you're at a boring meeting, definitely practice them.
The smile on your face, the corners of the mouth start to creep up, I think, because
yes.
You can't help it, because it's like it feels kind of good.
Exactly.
It's actually really nice when you're going over speed bumps.
There you go.
And
okay.
If you're on the spin cycle of the bike, but let's get back to
Let's get back to men.
If you want to make it tantric,
yes,
then just put some intent behind it.
Okay.
So in other words, you might imbue your sexual arousal with wanting to promote some creative thing you're doing.
Okay. You know what?
You know, sexual energy is powerful, and it's not just about sex.
Right.
It's actually about creating life force and creating not only pleasure, but just about everything in your life.
You know, this is what I was. This is the point I wanted to get to that I forgot, which was the intent thing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you or the listeners have heard about the plant science sort of different studies that have been done on plants and intent and the idea of intent that, you know, you can go up to a plant that's hooked up to all these wires and stuff and say, I'm going to burn your leaf and like kind of like have this match and like look at the plant and give this intent. And the actual biorhythms of the plant will go into panic mode.
Right.
If there is plant panic mode, because I'm sure there is in these studies. And then until you sort of put your energetic intent and say, I'm not going to burn you. I love you. You know, you're a beautiful plant. Everything's going to be fine. Then the biorhythms of the plant will go down.
Right. And you guys have heard about, of course, the hidden messages in water, right?
I was just going to say water. From what the bleep do we know?
Himoto or whatever his name is. Himoto? I can't remember.
Yeah.
Anyway.
brilliant stuff, but I think that intent is one of the big things that I teach. And when I was up teaching my men's class last weekend up there in Vancouver, I was teaching men that the feeling that you carry about women, let's say you're scared of women or you're frustrated by women or that type of thing, you carry that intent with you whenever you meet somebody.
Yeah,
so you're automatically putting out vibes to women about how you feel about women in general.
Right.
That if you want women around you, then what you do is you learn to love the feminine, and your intent is to make all women feel like goddesses.
Right. Yes.
And
well,
if
that's
you are in that space, you will attract all women.
Good. Good. Very good point. And for women to do is for men or any other. I mean, we are a very homo happy show here as well. So we would talk about, you know, gay and lesbian,
any
whatever.
Any partner, anybody that you want, you're interested in. What are you carrying around?
Your positive energy toward them. Now, usually we take a break at about 25 past, and it's already a bit late. And it's actually a CRTC thing. We've got to actually take a break. So and name that we are on CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver. You're listening to Juicebox Radio. We are going to take a short break, and we're hoping that Tanya will hang in for a few minutes while we take a break, and she will be back with more sexual transformation. Enter the art of sexual transformation in the area of sexual mastery. And we're very pleased to have this lovely tantrika and expert from Seattle calling us tonight and doing an interview. So we'll be back with more information on that. And we're going to listen to, what is this, Broken Social Scene? We're going to listen to a little CD. Oh, did I squish your finger?
You squished my finger, but that's okay. She made... I almost screamed. I was trying not to scream on air. But
what do you want to play?
Yeah,
honey?
We're going to scream. I thought Underneath the Skin, since we're talking about clitorises, and it made me think of Underneath the Skin.
And the breath work.
The breath work,
which is
as
underneath
well.
The
nice
skin
deep
as well.
Inhale. So, listeners, while we're on a break, I want you to take a nice deep inhale. And exhale, and practicing clenching those muscles.
Okay. And guys, you can do it too. You can clench your little pubococcyx muscles
yourself. Yes, you can. And just put a towel on top of your cock, and let's see, watch it go up and down. You can send us some video, and we might be able to put it up on Facebook.
All right, we'll be back. Thanks for listening. Okay, now hold on. We got to hold her on. We don't want to lose her.
Wasn't the leak and the man alone that I didn't. For the last 4 years, InSight, Vancouver's supervised injection site, has proven to be an important part of the solution to Vancouver's drug addiction crisis. Scientific evidence concludes InSight prevents drug overdose deaths, reduces the spread of HIV and AIDS, and moves more people in drug detox and addiction treatment. Despite the science, Prime Minister Harper may not renew InSight's legal status, which will expire on December 31st, 2007. If InSight closes, people will die. Please support a comprehensive solution to drug addiction by visiting www.communityinsight.ca. Tell Prime Minister Harper to do the right thing and keep InSight saving lives.
I've seen the needle and the damage done. A little part of it in everyone. But every junkie's like a city.
Juice Box is a sexuality education show geared to adult audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
And we're back with Tanya Diamond. Are you there, Tanya?
I sure am.
Oh, fabulous. I'm just not quite confident yet on the phone thing because we have to do our own engineering in this darn place, which is fine. One day we're going to make it big, Caroline, and we'll have our own engineer, won't we?
I think we will. Like we'll have more than that.
So we're that was Broken Social Scene.
And that was Underneath the Skin, which actually was I wasn't quite sure when we first started playing it. Julia looked at me and
I'm like, what did you choose? What is this crap? Okay, so now
it's actually not a bad song.
It was not bad.
But Tanya is going to be
Is on the phone with us from Seattle, which is very generous. Thank you for calling in, and we're talking about the art of sexual mastery.
We're talking about arousal and bliss, ladies.
Okay, we're talking about arousal and bliss.
I like that even better, although I do like the word mastery, Julia.
It sounds like masturbation, which is what we were talking about. Now, Tanya, you mentioned the whole tip here, that the whole point is not really about these techniques, about learning how to give a good blowjob or learning how to have multi-orgasmic, you know, non-ejaculatory orgasms for men so that you can keep your cock hard, all that business. It's not necessarily, those are just, I think, outputs of learning what you're talking about, which is what, Tanya? Can you just tell the listeners again?
Basically, what I'd love people to learn how to live is in arousal of life 24/7.
Wow.
And living in connectedness, big heart and sexual connectedness. Mm. Because all the techniques in the world are still just friction.
Right.
They're just friction. And they will leave you cold if you don't connect your sexuality to your heart and to your spirituality.
Right. Okay.
I can teach people how to have technique pretty quick, but teaching people how to really have connection so that your passion lasts a lifetime. I take couples that haven't had sex in 10 years, put them back together in 8 hours.
Wow.
And having the best sex they've ever had and go on to have great sex for 10, 15, 20 years.
Fabulous. Wow.
Most people are fizzling out in a year.
Mm. How long have you been doing this?
About 25 years.
How did you get involved?
I love sex.
Okay, good.
So is that how did you
I've been interested in sex and been one of these people that just has talked about it all the time in banks, restaurants, asking people questions. And it seems to be that this thing we're so interested in is the thing that we seem to be so ignorant about.
We're very repressed.
Well, we are not even so repressed, it's just so confused.
Mm-hmm.
And really just, you know, when people are raised hearing sex is dirty, save it for the one you love.
Mm-hmm.
What are you going to do with that information?
I know, it's totally messed up. It's just completely backwards. All right, so this is powerful information, I think, and it's very fundamental and basic, and I think so many of us think, well, it's got to be more difficult than that, it's got to be more hard than that, but it sounds to me that we have to come to terms with ourselves first, is what you're getting at, and that we learn to connect with ourselves first and then to others. Now, one of the questions I have is how, for somebody like myself who's single, I like to have a regular, healthy sex life. But I find that I start falling for the person and start to get the connection becomes what I think is love.
Right.
How do you go about having these healthy, fulfilling, connected sexual experiences and not make them into something more than they are?
Well, it's pretty difficult
yourself
for
hurt.
Women.
Yeah.
Because women basically, sex with women creates hormones that create connectedness and falling in love.
Right. We talked about that last time. Well, we talked about that a lot on Juice Box, but yes, the oxytocin, et cetera.
So yeah. I think the reality is to understand that maybe, even though we want to have healthy sex lives, if we're having healthy sex lives with ourselves, that our sexual arousal isn't somebody else's responsibility.
So
I think what most people do is they get horny and they think, oh, I'm horny and this is somebody else's. I need somebody else to take care of this energy.
Right.
Once you start living in your own personal bliss and you're easily orgasmic just by living life, you become actually less compelled to have physical interaction with just anybody.
This is what I need to hear.
I don't know if that made, did that make sense?
Yep. It makes perfect sense.
Yep.
And so what most of us are touch deprived, even more than sex.
Yes.
We want touch.
Yes.
We want to be held. We want to be nurtured.
Yes.
We want to be intimate.
Right.
So if we create tribes that allow, that allow us to actually cuddle and snuggle, we'll find that we're the outpouring that we're having for sex with other people changes.
Yes. I belong to quite an amazing community like that, Tribal Harmonics. We have a lot of different events in Vancouver area and across Canada, actually, or Western Canada anyway. And we're very snuggly. And we're also part of the Burning Man community, which is also very snuggly. So there's a lot of that kind of touch that happens. I also recommend to people, I mean, because I'm lucky that way. I agree with you. I think it's important, really important. One of the things I teach older people that have maybe lost their partners or haven't, you know, been with someone is that they go get massages, get regular massage, because, you know, we do need to be touched. It's so important.
We should have cuddle parties. You know, down here in Seattle, they have these things called cuddle parties.
We have them in Vancouver as well.
Right, and that's part of loving. More people should be involved in that type of thing. Mm.
There's that. And even just hugging people. It's they've actually done studies. If you get 12 hugs a day, you live up to 10 years longer.
Yep. And so, yeah, I find that that's just the art of touch is incredibly important as well, and we should learn how to have connection that's beyond just sex.
Mm. Beauty night.
Beauty night?
Yes. It's all about reintroduction of touch in a non-threatening way to victims of violence. Yeah.
My beautiful Caroline does an incredible, what's it called? It's Registered Charity Beauty Night Society. And that introduces touch
in a non-threatening way to victims of violence. A lot of survival sex workers. We've actually got a benefit tomorrow night and one next week, too.
That's fabulous. You guys are just interesting girls.
We have a lot of balls in the air, that's for sure. And right now, they're not the softest, hairiest kinds, are they, Caroline?
Well, they're hairy, definitely. Some of them are very hairy and definitely need a trim, and they need to be shaved and smoothed out.
Nothing like a freshly shorn testicle.
Exactly.
But hey, you know what I want to know?
Yes.
Are you ladies coming to my sexual mastery class on Sunday?
Oh, yes. You're doing a sexual mastery class on Sunday. Can you tell the listeners about the sexual mastery? It sounds amazing.
Yeah.
You did one for men,
class.
Didn't you? Sorry, darling.
It's a women's only class, and we're going to learn about our bodies and men's bodies. And I have a very lovely 33-year-old model that will be there for me to demonstrate on.
Which kind of model?
A male or female?
a very beautiful man.
Oh.
Will be there sacrificing himself to the
program.
Yes.
Wow. Okay. So now we can't get into that too much because I think that might be illegal. But
we won't be doing anything too illegal. No, I promise.
Okay. All right. So now, what's in this workshop? Then it's a women's only class. You've done a men only class.
Yep.
Becoming a master lover. Now you're doing a become a tantric lover for women.
Yes.
Paint us a picture.
Basically, we're going to learn, we're going to kind of demystify the women, our bodies, get rid of some of our myths, learn how to become sexually empowered, and then also, of course, learn some techniques that not only please ourselves, but our lovers.
Mm-hmm. So are we going to, like, have the mirror, like what they do with the vagina monologues?
No, I won't. We won't get anybody naked.
The labia? No?
I want this to be an accessible class for everybody.
Okay.
There are venues that I teach from that have a little racier element.
Okay.
But this one will be something that you could bring all your friends to and everything would be fine.
Oh, fabulous.
Even if you're relatively conservative.
Especially with the hot male model that you're going to do some demonstrations on. I'm excited about this. Now, with the males class, did you have a female model there?
You know, I was supposed to, and she bailed at the last minute, so I had to use a man. And, you know, for men, that's all good. They can just envision themselves as that man that I'm using.
Fabulous.
So, yeah, it was quite fun. And
cool.
The men are very excited to learn that there'll be women in Vancouver learning some of these things as well.
Yes. Well, you know, Caroline and I have been meaning to do a blowjob workshop for a long time, and we must get out there and do that, honey. We've got techniques. We're fabulous at what we do.
We are very good. I go to dinner parties, and I get asked questions about it. Even last week at the Luscious Dance party, their Christmas party, I was asked about. Because apparently my technique about exhaling when you take it in your mouth actually helps because it relaxes your throat muscles so you don't gag.
I've never done that.
I love it.
All I know is that every man I ever suck his cock, he's like, no word of a lie every single time. You are the best I've ever had by a long shot. So I don't know what it is I actually do, but we need to break it down into teachable moments, don't we, Caroline?
We do. I'm pretty technical, though. So.
Okay, good. Well, you know what, Tanya? You probably break it down to teachable moments as well. I mean, you get into the techniques, don't you? Beyond this, like, the very important aspect of the breath work, of becoming blissed out with life in general, becoming... you know, having the right affair with yourself, as you were saying, just like falling in love with yourself, being connected to yourself, having wonder in the world around you. What was the word you said? Orgasmic, just walking around or something?
Be in orgasmic bliss of your life.
Right.
Because really, orgasm is just energy. And if you can use your arousal to go through your life in, can you imagine how great life is? Then you could be like me, 46, with men following you that are 21 and above, around.
What do they do?
They follow me around.
Oh, and what?
You know, I mean, I am not the, let's see, how do we say it, the physical idea of American beauty. And yet I seem to not lack for male attention at all. Why is that?
Do you have big tits?
Well, I do. Okay. Yeah.
Well, there you go.
That's true.
I've
got big tits. Sorry,
There's the mama thing going on there.
Does that have something to do with it?
I think it does.
It has a lot to do with it.
There's a mama thing going on there, honey.
But you know what it also is? I think that when you...
It's your energy.
When I'm standing in my arousal, my sexual empowerment, I definitely have a vibe going out. A woman that's confident with her sexuality and a woman that likes sex and feels empowered about it definitely looks different than women that don't.
No, it's true.
It's
actually
true.
Marilyn Monroe, I remember reading an interview with her, obviously, but because she's not around anymore, and she died before I was born. But with that, she actually, in an interview, actually said, watch this, and she could go out and actually not get recognized at all. But when she chose to be Marilyn, and actually she just knew how to turn it off and on, basically, and let that release. And that was some of her magic, because she was able to let that just release and own that power. And really let that go through. And it was just
And I think women are scared of being like that. I mean, when I teach my women's class, they go, but it's not safe to be that way.
Well,
and I find that crazy talk.
Well,
it's not going to make you... I know, I have one woman that said, well, does that mean that all of a sudden then you're just going to want sex all the time? And I'm like, well, yeah, but what's wrong with that?
I think we're still scared of ourselves
Scared
about, because one out of every six women have dealt with sexual violence in North America. So there's that component of, as well. And there is that whole misconception because...
the slut thing?
Yeah, the whole slut thing.
Well, like, this reputational thing. There is that issue. There's social pressures. We care about what people think of us. So this is something I think that oppresses us. That's kind of an obvious... unfortunately, I wish we could unlock ourselves from this crap, because who cares what other people think, as long as you're not harming anyone, right?
Walking in your sexual power isn't necessarily mean that you're walking around
sleeping with
your
everybody.
Tail in the air.
Yeah.
Right. But one of the things I do want to discuss, though, is this issue with wanting to have sex all the time. I know that, Tanya, you might not think it's a problem, but I used to be a nymphomaniac, and it was a problem. And, you know, not that I was a sexual addict, but I had issues. I mean, I couldn't have enough sex, and it was a constant issue in my life. Up till I was in my mid-20s, I couldn't even focus. I had to fuck all the time like a crazy animal. So, you know, thank God that's over, and I can kind of control myself. But I long for sex. I long to have sex at least every other day. I mean, it's kind of like, and if I don't have it
just
for 3 or 4
other
days,
day?
Well, honey, I'd like to have it all the time. But the point is that I actually long for it, like, you know, an addiction kind of feeling where I'm like, I'm feeling unfulfilled in my life because I haven't had sex in 3 days or 4 days or a week. And I start feeling like, oh my God, there's something really wrong. Oh my God, I got to fix this. And, you know, that's not, I don't know. I just,
is it the sex or is it the orgasm or is it the connection? I mean, how many different components there are to sexuality?
Exactly.
Is it the affirmation?
No, it's not that, because I feel very confident. It's maybe the orgasm and the physical connection. It's really not much more than that, because I have fabulous friends. I get lots of hugs. I have incredible conversations. I have lots of connection, and I'm very confident.
Tried having 50 or 60 orgasms by yourself a day and see what happens?
Maybe I should try doing that. Okay, I think you're going to try that. I'm going to try that prescription, Tanya Diamond. Okay, so Caroline, what were you going to say?
I was going to say perhaps it might be an energy thing. I've always thought if Mother Teresa, and listeners, forgive me if you're Catholic, I'm sorry. But I honestly believe if she, it's all energy, right? She put that energy into making a difference in places like Cambodia and places like that, where I just, correct me if I'm wrong, but is that kind of what you mean in terms of living in ecstasy, where you're living?
Yes.
And it's kind of like with Beauty Night. I mean, I started that the year I was dating the guy that I only had sex with 3 times that year because he didn't want to sleep with me because he would just, we had different drives. So I put that energy into making a difference in the world.
Yes.
It's that, isn't it?
You learn to use your sexual energy or orgasm or anything like that as a spiritual vehicle.
Like you
and
said, Tanya.
Sex magic, even.
Sex magic. And you were also talking about the creativity and how this sexuality can be such a creative force behind everything.
Exactly.
It is the creative force behind everything, is what you were saying.
You know what's interesting?
Well, it creates life, right? There isn't anything a whole lot bigger than that.
No, it's true. It's interesting, actually, because I know one of the priests, Ken, I'm trying to remember his last name, at 10th Avenue Alliance Church, which is kind of weird to bring religion to this, but...
hey, religion fits anywhere, whatever.
He used to always describe that instead of in terms of with sex, really getting in touch with... Well, he always incorporated it with God as well, but basically you'd have a better, more creative release where you'd be able to use that energy. And he used to talk about that a lot in his sermons.
Yeah, creativity and sex, orgasm, God. I mean, David Data is, I guess, one of the newer sort of writers about that around, you know, sex being the path to God. I fully agree. I think that's what Tantra is all about, is it not?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yes, it's really about weaving and connection. It's about learning that we are not isolated and that if you understand the macrocosm as it pertains to the microcosm, which is yourself, you can let go of your suffering. The suffering is just simply from ignorance and non-connection.
Right. Oh, non-connection. Jeez, you know, I have so far to go on that one. Very, very, very good, though. Very informative. You know, and I loved, this has been one of the most original tantric programs that I've had on Juicebox, and it's probably the 15th one we've done in the last 4 years.
Oh, well, thank you.
So it's been very, you know, fundamental, which I think we often tend to get lost in the technique stuff and the orgasm stuff and the G-spot and, and you know, Viagra and whatever. It's
But all that stuff, you know, if you have the rest of it, all that stuff is much easier and, quite frankly, much more fulfilling. Because all the techniques in the world can still get old in a matter of time. But connecting with your partner in a place of spirituality and energetic bliss, that never gets old.
I think that's so great because I have so many friends that are always talking to me about more tips on what to do for longevity and to get their relationship excited. And I always talk about the different games and the different, you know, things at the sex shops and all these different things you can do to start playing. And I don't even remember about the connection because guess what? I have issues with that. So
everybody's going for bigger and bigger highs when really Tantra is about being more subtle and subtle and more stillness and then thereby becoming more intimate and more connected on a level that can't be shaken apart.
Right.
I like
that. Wow, that's so great.
Yeah.
Now we know, Caroline, you spent the last 45 minutes discussing this very important aspect, which, Tanya, can you wrap it up into one or two sentences once again for the listeners?
Can I wrap it up into really quick things?
Yeah.
What, Tantra? Sex?
Just what you've been talking about, this whole... I don't want to put it in words because you do it so well. about where it begins with us, with yourself.
Well, I mean, we need to create a great love affair with ourselves. Mm-hmm. And it's not, you know, sexuality doesn't make a great relationship. Having a spiritual relationship with someone's self that one shares with somebody else, creating... sex as a sacrament is really what longevity is all about, sexual passion.
Fabulous.
You need to be passionate with yourself. You don't lose passion with a partner. Passion is always lost with oneself first.
Truer words could not be spoken, I think, hey?
So true.
Because if you're a passionate person, if you're feeling passionate about yourself and your life, you're going to be passionate in everything you do, and that's going to make your sex better. I mean,
Exactly.
Sex can be so boring with people that are just not in... enlightened. I mean, you know, turned on. Like, I mean, like
right.
a light, you know. Like
that's what I said, living in arousal of living exactly. in sexual arousal or blissful arousal in your life. If you're aroused by everything you do, your sex life cannot be non-arousing.
Right. Hold on. I think we have another caller. 1 second, okay? I don't know how to do this. Hold on. I think you can do it from here. Hold on.
Can I?
Okay, hold on. Hello? Oh, I think we lost Tanya.
No, you haven't. Well, you might have lost Tanya.
I lost Tanya, but I got somebody else.
Well, at
poor
least
Tanya.
It'll be something else to say. You know? If you are so passionate about yourself, you know, perhaps you are losing sight of the fact that sexual interaction is...
Hello?
What happened there?
Oh, I don't know. Are you still there, caller?
Yes, I'm Sorry. David Suzuki.
You're David Suzuki? Fabulous.
Yes, it's Dr. David Suzuki phoning.
That's exciting.
Yes. Seriously. How can
Oh, God.
Okay, so you were saying?
Can you believe it?
No.
I named the pit pub back in 68?
No.
Yeah, I did. But no, actually, I didn't. But no, seriously, man, like, you know, if you get too into yourself, you know, you tend to forget that there's another person on either the giving or receiving end of your sexual line.
Right.
You know?
Well, so, thank you for
thank
calling.
Thank you very much.
That's for a sure. good comment.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Bye.
Bye. Okay. Tanya, we lost you.
Hello, it's Tanya.
I'm so sorry,
yeah,
darling.
So sorry about that.
Because you know what it is? It's technical difficulties because Julia doesn't know what she's doing with the engineering board. I apologize. And we actually had a funky caller. Did you hear him?
No, I didn't.
Okay, he claims to be David Suzuki. He's not David Suzuki. But he was talking about if you get too involved with yourself that you lose touch with the other person or something. Is that what he was saying, Caroline?
Yes, which I'd like to comment on that actually quickly, which... It's if you haven't filled up in terms of yourself, like, and worked on yourself and really filled up and you know who you are, how it's kind of like one of those things, and people bug me about it, where it's sometimes you give and give and give, but if you don't take care of self first, you can't, you have nothing to give, and you're going to end up suffering, and the relationship's going to suffer, and it's not going to work.
Right.
Yeah.
Plain and simple.
Truer things going to be said. Yeah, so anyway, Mr. Suzuki... He was just talking about that, you know, you have to also give to the other person.
I mean, the whole thing about Tantra is it's a give and take dance, right?
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. Usually we only go till 11, but because the lovely DJ that is coming on at 11 isn't actually going to be here, we can just kind of slowly wrap it up instead of saying, "Hey, we got to get off the air right now." So,
Can I give you a couple of techniques to leave on?
Please, sure. That's fabulous.
I have to tell everybody to slow down.
Slow down.
Vagina monologues.
We push past memorable events by speeding up to the next event instead of being in the present moment.
Wow.
Nice.
That's powerful. So, okay.
I tell men, if you're kissing a woman, leave her breathless. Don't leave her pushing you away. Mm. So you can never make a woman wait too long because she'll take you when she's ready.
Caroline
in stereo tonight.
Her and I are like moaning away, going, mm.
grunting and moaning.
And men should learn the lost art of hand kissing.
Oh, I think Caroline loves the hand kissing.
I do. Yeah. I like it quite a lot. I'm looking at the board, just vibrating.
And women, please don't forget that men have a whole lot more body parts than just one. And that if you make love to your man the way you want to be made love to, you might be surprised at what happens.
That one works sometimes, depending on the man.
But see, most men don't realize that they really want more than what you're giving them.
Hmm.
Slow down. Let them find that out.
Oh, you know, that's a really good point, because I'm all about, you know, giving the blowjob and sort of, I do take my time in the beginning. I kind of warm up and ramp it up and then ramp it up, and then I kind of just, unless he's been a particularly good boy, I tend to finish him, you know, as opposed to like stopping right when he's getting close and then kind
that's
of just
right.
like teasing and doing the things and making right. him want it so bad that his orgasm is like mind-blowing by the end of it. Men are like women that way, you know, like if you let them sort of build it up and then take away, build it up, take away, build, you know, back down, whatever, they can have super powerful orgasms, way better than if you just go from like 0 to 100 and it's done, you know, whatever, in 20 minutes or 10 minutes or whatever. I think that's really, you know, it works.
It does work.
But I'm so anxious to get to that orgasm. I'm terrible. I'm like a high school kid.
I know, it's true. But, you know, I mean, that's where most people are focusing on the orgasm. And basically what they're doing is they're so focused on the orgasm, they're missing all the events on the way.
That's so true. Because I've had tantric sex where it's the whole, it's all about the journey, actually. And it's really lovely, actually. But there's times where I've got 5 minutes before I have to go to work. And
well, you can be tantric in that moment. Just have
really
intenseful tantric sports sex.
I definitely need to take your workshop, so I'm very curious. When is it on Sunday?
It, you know what? I mean, no. You know, tantric sex isn't about the fact that you're having a ritual every time.
Mm.
It's really about the fact that if you're staying connected to your partner throughout the day and throughout your lives, having sex in a connection in 5 minutes will work and still leave you feeling whole. Whereas if you're just waiting to connect only in that moment, then it makes that a little bit tougher.
Fair enough.
People then are waiting to be in the mood to have sex. And quite frankly, most society isn't going to put you in the mood.
No, that's true.
So I think that our society really isn't about creating intimacy and sex. It's about creating commerce.
Hmm.
And we need to take a lot more time to make sure that we're touching our partner when we walk by them, make sure we're calling them up to tell them we love them, we want them, we miss them. We need to add some more romance, which in a sense is intimacy and connection, back into our lives.
I agree. Here, here. Here, here.
When is your workshop on Sunday?
It is 2 to 5, and it's at the YWCA.
Downtown.
And all that info is on the sexualelevation.com website.
Sexualelevation.com. And Tanya Diamond, we would love to have you come up and do the show live with us.
I would love to do that.
That would be so much fun.
Mm-hmm. They're wickedly fun.
Right on. So make sure that you arrange that when you come into Vancouver for a Wednesday night. And you're welcome to stay at my place if you want. No problem.
Oh, how fun would that be?
We may not sleep all night because we'll be like, giggle, giggle, giggle. And then you'll be showing me some techniques and goodness knows what might happen next. So I have friends in big places that like to do fun things. So we could make a little pajama party out of it.
You've handed me an invitation that I cannot refuse.
Sounds fabulous. I'd love to pick your brain and other parts. So, all right. So thank you so much for being on Juicebox. Really appreciate it. Fabulous, fabulous. And
can I say one quick thing? There's a free ebook if you go to my site on the secrets of the Tantra teacher.
Oh,
nice.
And my site's the sexual transformation site.
Sexual transformation, and there's a free ebook. Fabulous.
Yes.
Okay, cool.
So sign up, get your free ebook.
Thank you.
And we'll
thank
look
you,
forward
ladies.
To seeing you on Sunday.
All righty.
Okay.
Thank you.
Take care, Tanya. Bye-bye.
All right,
well,
bye.
Listeners, we hope you enjoyed tonight's show. Julie and I are going to be back next week with another fresh and lively juice box.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be really, really good. We're going to have Julian back on
second
again.
Largest concentrate.
Oops. Oops. What is going on there?
Sorry, that's the BBC. Go ahead. Finish talking.
And anyway, we're going to be talking about how to keep on track with your jealousy. And it's going to be pretty fun. So if you get a chance tomorrow night, head down to Versus 21. It's at 21 Water Street, and it's an event called Beauty and Versus, which it's a huge silent auction for Beauty Night, and it should be a good time. And if you get a chance, also check out the workshop on Sunday, because Juliana and the Juice Box Chicks are going to be there.
Oh,
we're
going to
have a good time.
I don't think I can be there, honey, but I want you to go.
I see if I can.
I think you should go.
I think
maybe Tanya will give you a 50% off if we do a full report on Juicebox. Anyway, okay.
And last but not least, I will be modeling in Ginch on December 11th.
Oh.
Julie, are you coming to see me in my underwear?
We didn't talk about juice berries tonight. There's two other ones I need to do, actually. Hold on a second.
All right. Well, anyway, we're having our All I Want. Wow, you are just dropping
just
things
mess.
All over the studio tonight,
mess.
Girlfriend.
Okay, we forgot a couple juice berries.
We
Sorry,
did. Well,
everyone.
The first one is All I Want for Christmas, which is our lingerie pole dance fashion show where the Luscious Dance Girl is going to be dancing, the Aradia Dance Team, and you're going to see all sorts of lingerie from Dolce Amore, which is really nice stuff. I went for my fitting yesterday, all Euro stuff. Julia, you would be in heaven.
Oh.
Very hot, hot, hot stuff. Plus,
I love that.
Pretty Titty is going to be dancing as well, doing some burlesque. So it's
December
be a good
11th,
time.
Is it? Okay.
It's the 11th.
Okay. Now, there's also a relationships workshop. Are You Joined at the Hip? Workshop for people developing their sense of self in relationships on the 26th of January from 10 in the morning to 5 o'clock at night in Vancouver. It's this workshop will discuss the dynamics in relationships that encourage partners to merge into one and restrict their ability to be themselves. Mature love is seen as the coming together of two people who are self-defined and responsible for themselves. So this is a workshop all about that. You can find out all you want to know at delise.info. So it's www.delyse.info. And you can also call her at 604-329-6006, and that's Delise. And that's January 26th. She does other workshops as well, and I think she's a relationship counselor. She's a friend in the burner community and a talented woman. So, and there's also Densix and Babylon Entertainment, who did the third annual or second annual
fetish ball
that we went to.
That was quite impressive.
That had amazing performances in it. They're doing an evening of dark music, art, fashion, body modification, and performance coming up on December 6th, which is when? Tomorrow?
This is tomorrow.
Tomorrow night, doors at 9. We're both on the list, Caroline, you and I. Tickets are very reasonable, as usual, with this group. They do make them reasonable. You can get information and tickets online at densix.com, and that's densix.com, densix. Okay, and that's called Daroque 3, so it's the third year. There's going to be, looks like, a lot of fun things, and hosted by Melody Mangler, who we have to mention because we love Melody Mangler.
She's one of the best burlesque performers in town.
Best
burlesque. Wonderful.
She's incredible. She's so super hot. And you know what? She's really, really sweet.
Nice.
And she's actually really, really bright. So she's one of those all kinds of fabulousness women. And we love Melody Mangler. So go to that, and go to our thing tomorrow night, too, down in Gaston.
And if you're up bright and early, you can watch me on breakfast television. I'll be on sometime between 7 and 9.
Oh. Little Miss TV girl. Fabulous. I wish I had a TV, Caroline, so I could see you. Okay, so now we've had 10 extra minutes on.
We have.
Spot,
and
so it's time
Marian
to wrap it
is
up.
Not going to be here, so we're going to have to come up with something else to masturbate to tonight.
I know.
All our listeners won't be able to listen to a super hot voice.
That's okay. I'm going to the Transmission opening gala party tonight, right away after this, down at Century on Mount Richard. So I'm heading back downtown to party some more, as I did on the way here. So many things to do, but there is an electronic music.
Several times ecstasy.
There's an electronic music conference this weekend, or this next 3 days in Vancouver, and so there's going to be some hot DJs. I'm hoping that's what I'm going to be connecting to.
That sounds good.
All right.
We will be back next week at the Sexy Hour.
Oh, we're going to be back with Jillian. About
yes,
jealousy and a continuation of that conversation.
That's
about
right.
What jealousy is, how to overcome it, how to keep yourself on track with your jealousy, tips, all of that stuff. What's that?
Oh, it's just nothing.
You're happy I did that? Sorry,
yeah.
I cornered you again. I'm getting good at noticing not to corner you, though. So Jillian and her lovely partner, AJ, will be back. And they're going to be talking more about polyamory, but more specifically jealousy and how to deal with that. Mm-hmm. Jillian is doing her PhD in the matter. And AJ, as you found out two juice box ago, is a fabulous guest and very eloquent. So we're looking forward to that show, aren't we?
We are. And we will be back next week. And since Samarian isn't here, we are going to be listening
BBC.
To some BBC.
I chose a good program for you.
Yay.
You'll find out all about it when you listen.
We'll be back next week. Good night.
Press play on the thing. press play. Burly. Outro. Good. Press play. Okay. Bye-bye. Bye-bye, everybody.
Bye-bye.
We love you. 'Experience Juicebox Radio, a show dedicated to developing your relational and individual sexual health, expressing diversity, celebrating queerness, and encouraging pleasure at all stages. Be sure to tune into Juicebox every Wednesday night at 10. In the meantime, you can check out juiceboxradio.com. Thanks for listening.
Retirement villages for affluent middle classes, new financial products, and sadly, special police cells for protection of the